Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace.
Well, we have moved into the Thanksgiving section in Paul's epistle to the Colossians. Paul, as you knew, followed the customary epistolary format of his day. And so he first identified himself as the author, and secondly identified the recipients as the Church at Colossae, and third, extended a greeting to them, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And now he comes to the giving of thanks, which in most of the epistles, the letters of his day, would have been an expression of thanks to the pagan gods, usually fairly brief. It was just a routine. But Paul expands this Thanksgiving section enormously, a very long and significant and rich section, and, of course, not addresses it to any pagan gods, but to the one true God. And he makes it clear who that God is by identifying him as the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. And so this expression, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which surprisingly is not really a very common expression in the New Testament, is very appropriate at this juncture to make it clear that Paul, though giving thanks to God, is not giving thanks to any God, or to several gods, or to all the gods, supposedly, small g, plural gods, but he's giving thanks to one God, and if you don't know who that is, it's not Zeus, it's not Apollos, it's not Jupiter, it's not Mercury, it's not Diana of the Ephesians. This God is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that immediately identifies this God as the Christian God, the God of the Bible, the God of Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's the God to whom Paul gives thanks, because that's the God that Paul worshipped. That's the God that the Colossians worshipped. That's the Colossian members of the Colossian church worshipped, not everybody in Colossae, of course. That's the God that all Christians worship. That's the God to whom Paul gave thanks and to whom we should give thanks. And so he identifies him as the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in itself, as I said in the closing of the broadcast yesterday, points to the deity of Christ, because it highlights the fact that God is the Father, Jesus is the Son, and they share the same nature. My children have my nature because they are sons of Greg Barkman, or the daughters, actually, of Greg Barkman. I have four daughters. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He shares the nature of God, the God of the Bible, the one true God, the God who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you need to understand that he really alone is a son of God by nature. We are also called sons of God, but we are sons of God by adoption. We have been adopted into his family through Christ Jesus. But there's only one son of God who actually possesses in entirety the nature of God. Now, God not only adopts us into his family, but he gives us something of himself, and therefore we do have something of his nature, but we are not totally possessors of the nature of God. Or maybe I didn't put that correctly. Maybe I should say we do not possess all that God is. We don't possess all of his nature, all of his attributes, all of his being. We do not, we cannot, we could not, but God the Son does, Jesus Christ does. Furthermore, by putting it this way, we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That magnifies the Father's love. When God gave Jesus Christ to sinners that they might be redeemed, who was he giving? He was giving his own Son, his only begotten Son, his uniquely beloved Son. We cannot understand that. We can understand in part, I suppose. I can hardly imagine giving one of my four daughters to death deliberately, even for a noble cause. That just seems impossible. I hope I would be willing to lay down my own life for a cause if it were noble enough. And if it came to that, I trust that I would gladly do that rather than sacrifice one of my daughters. Let me do that. But in the nature of things, it was necessary that God the Son take upon him human flesh and become a man. That's the only way that he could die on the cross for sins. And so God gave him his Son, but of course, because of the mystery of the Trinity and giving him his Son, he was giving himself, because you can't totally separate the three persons of the Trinity. Mystery, mystery, mystery. It always is mysterious whenever we think about it, whenever we talk about it. But this shows us the magnitude of the Father's love. There is a bond of love between God the Father and God the Son that we cannot begin to imagine. We can only understand it a little bit because of the magnitude of love that we have for our children. But that is a pale, weak, paltry level of love compared to the love that the Father has for his own Son. That's why he's called his only beloved Son and his only begotten Son, and some of these terms that highlight that relationship and that level of love. But that's the one that the Father gave. The Father, this is the God who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And God has revealed himself to us in this self-giving love. And our love is a dim reflection of God's love. On the one hand, we recognize that our love at its best, and as it has been given to us by God, and apart from that, we wouldn't be able to do this at all, to love in any measure like God loves. But because God has shed his love abroad in our hearts, we are able to love in some measure similar to the love of God, the same quality, I suppose, of love that God has shed abroad to us and to others, but such a much smaller quantity. So on the one hand, we recognize how dim is our love. What a poor reflection of God's love is our love. But on the other hand, we rejoice that we have even that manifestation of divine love that we wouldn't have unless he had shed that abroad in our hearts. And that's a great encouragement, that God has given to us a measure of his great love. And it is to this God that Paul gives thanks. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But how does Paul give thanks? We're talking about his giving of thanks, and we are seeing the Apostle Paul's thanksgiving as a pattern for ours. At least that's what we should be seeing. And we first consider to whom Paul gave thanks, and he gave thanks to God Almighty, Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. But secondly, the question is, how does Paul give thanks? And the answer is, he gives it through prayer. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Or we could say, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. That would be a perfectly accurate translation. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, says Paul, when we pray for you, you Colossians. It's clear from the scriptures that Paul was a man of prayer. Paul prayed often. And when Paul prayed, according to his own words, he included the church at Colossae. When we pray for you. And when he prayed for them, he first expressed thanks for them. Where did he begin his prayer? Not with petition, but with giving of thanks, even when praying for others. What a lesson. What a lesson. And we need to realize that the expression of thanks is a primary purpose of prayer. Prayer includes petition. Prayer really needs to be understood as worship, but prayer ought to begin with thanksgiving. Thank you for what you have done before we start asking him for other things, whatever they may be, even for forgiveness of sins, as important as that is. We begin by an expression of thanks, or so we ought to. Now thank we all our God. That's the highest form of worship. It is the beginning point of our prayers, or should be. It is a primary purpose of prayer. In both private and public prayer, we should give thanks in public prayer when we pray. Paul taught us something about public prayer, corporate prayer, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. He said, therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, and so forth. He goes on. What are the elements of prayers here? Supplications, that would be petitions. Intercessions, that would be petitions too, but petitions on behalf of others. And giving of thanks. Well, here Paul exemplifies what he teaches Timothy to teach the church at Ephesus to do in 2 Timothy chapter, or 1 Timothy chapter 2. But here he exemplifies it, and he puts the thanksgiving first. First. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. I'm convinced that we need, as Christians, a greater focus upon prayer. I'm convinced that we, as churches, need to have a greater focus upon prayer. I'm convinced that we need a greater focus upon prayer in our private lives, and we need a greater focus upon prayer in our public worship, and we need a greater focus upon prayer in specific meetings for prayer, prayer meetings, which used to be understood by churches as at least one of the appointed meetings of the church each week, but that has certainly fallen out of practice in many churches. Even many churches that still have a service they call prayer meeting don't do much praying, and most have even stopped calling it prayer meeting. They just call it the midweek service, and in many churches, all that consists of is maybe a meal, choir practice, some kind of fellowship. We've lost prayer. That's part of our problem. That's why we're so weak. May God call us back to prayer. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give us his eternal peace.